flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three already on this Sunday morning. It is 6:02 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down south, down to Port Mansfield. Now let's check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna De La Cruz. Rihanna, what's up?
Good morning, Mickey.
You tired this morning?
Yes, I am.
I bet you are.
I'm beat. I'm hurting everywhere.
You fished your butt off this weekend.
Oh, my gosh, the whole week.
Leading up to it. But tournament fishing, man, it takes it out of you, all the stress.
Yeah, it is. It's stressful, but it's worth it, you know. I mean, we're fishing long hours early in the morning till about one time we came in, and it was just past dark. But, you know, the conditions that we were fishing we're really, the conditions we're fishing in the tournament, so it was kind of interesting to see, you know. But
yeah, somehow it always changes. You can pre-fish all you want, and the conditions change for the tournament weekend, and
I know, square one,
you know.
Yeah, you just never know. You have to kind of prepare yourself for anything.
Right.
And, of course, this tournament was nice because both days were pretty consistent as far as the wind and the temperature, the water temperature, you know, fishing around a new moon. So that part was very nice. I mean, we were lucky compared to the last tournament here held in Port Mansfield. Day one was about like it was here in day two of the tournament yesterday, you know, just beautiful, warm, little bit. We had a wind shift, and then day two, that cold front had blown in and completely changed up the, you know, the game plan. And so, you know, that could very well happen. So we, of course, all you can do is prepare for the worst and be prepared for it. But, luckily, the stars aligned, and we were lucky with two good days of solid weather. But
right.
Leading up to it, you know, that whole week fishing, the bite was like late in the day. I mean, like 5 to 6 in the evening, which of course is not the time that you're going to be fishing in the tournament.
Nope.
So,
nope,
but.
Long time.
That's right. But the thing is, you know, and I told my girls this, Mariah Streams and Kim Golden, they are wonderful, wonderful ladies. And I was honored to have them on my team. And I just want to say how proud I am of them too, in performing the last 2 days. And you know, of course, under pressure. I mean, there is a little pressure in those tournaments.
You think?
Even though it's just fishing, you know, you start overthinking, and you can't overthink. It's easy to do when you're out there. You know, it's easy to start thinking about, you know, the field and, you know, what's on stake. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's
how
hard not to think about that
fish.
Field with all those heavy hitter lineups that were on those teams, man. That's some good fishermen, boy. Oh,
56
man.
Teams. 56 teams. So it was record-breaking. It was, you know, it's an honor to be part of it, you know, and then not only that, but be able to go out there and pull 2 days off when of good fishing, you know, it's hard to do. I mean,
yeah.
that's when you really think about it, to pull off 2 days in a row to catch in between 5 to 6 pound trout each per person,
right.
You know, everyone's got to get a bite. And
right.
When you start thinking about it, it's like, man, you know, it is tough. But you know, day one, I had a defining moment this last weekend. You know, day one, I zeroed out, and it can happen to any of us. And no matter, you know, there's only certain things that you can control when you're out there. One of them is your attitude. The other one is, you know, how you approach an area, how you fish an area, but you cannot control the bite. And I learned, you know, and of course I've always known that, and I always say, you know, there's only certain things that I have control out there over out there. And, you know, my girls, man, they performed well yesterday, and I could not get a bite. I all day long went without a bite. And it was tough. It was emotionally, it was tough for me, because, you know, within my mind, I know what's there. I know what I've produced there. I know that I can catch them. And I had several opportunities. One of them just completely folded my little John XL in half, and it got hooked on the hook. It was like, it made a U. So she just snapped down real hard. It had my rod tip up and just couldn't crank down on her fast enough to set the hook. And that was a, you know, I consider a missed opportunity, but I really don't think
I guess
hooking.
Kim had a 6.15, and the other girl, she had a Streams had a 4.10.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could have just got a 5.
I know
that
it.
First day, that would put
even
you
a 3, Mickey. Even,
yeah,
a
even
solid
a 3.
Three.
Yeah, I mean, that would have moved you up way up.
I know it.
But y'all had a good day yesterday. Y'all came back really good and strong.
We did. Yeah, I'm extremely proud of the girls. And, you know, performing, because I guess too, you know, day one, you get real anxious, you know, it's a good anxious. You're anxious to get out there. You want to get through the captain's meeting, you know, you're just like, I just wish I could fast forward through that and just get to the fishing, you know, and it's a good anxiety, you know, there's bad anxiety and there's good anxiety. And I get a good anxiety to say I'm jonesing to get out there, you know, I'm just ready to get after it. And so, you know, once we, and of course we started pre-fishing, of course, Tim and I are guides down here. So you know, we're fishing because we have to, and we've got clients. But we started pre-fishing, you know, a month ago. And so, you know, as a team all together. So, of course, you know, pre-fishing a month ago, we know how the weather was. It was, you know, I remember the first time we all got together, it was right after one of those cold snaps, and the water temperature was in the low 40s. Yeah. And air temperature was in the 40s as well. I mean, and we knew that at the time, we felt like we were beating ourselves up in those conditions when we really didn't have to, because, you know, no telling the weather could have panned out to be like we kind of figured it would, you know, warm, and we're out there in cold, rough conditions, you know, freezing our buns off, and then, of course, here comes tournament day, and it's almost 80 degrees. And sunny, and water temperature, you know, warmed up big time. But that's just how it goes, you know. And I love the tournament atmosphere. I love the competitiveness. I love being out there. And it really and truly, it brings back old memories from playing golf and being in the field and the atmosphere, just the competitive nature in me. It's something that you know, I'm used to. I grew up like that from playing golf and competitive golf and
right.
and being out there. It's kind of like a homey feeling in a way because of that, and I enjoy it. I miss it. I miss playing competitive golf. But when I'm out here and I'm in a, you know, performing these tournaments, fishing these tournaments, it kind of eases that little, you know, that craving for that. And I enjoy it so much. And of course, fortunate enough to have a group of ladies to do this with me. And Kim and Mariah are just fantastic ladies. I can't even stress enough how much I love them and how much of a pleasure it was to fish this tournament with them. And so we were debating on whether we would fish the next two tournaments, and so after this deal, we're gonna fish the Baffin one. Well, I don't think we're gonna fish the Port Aransas one. Port Aransas can be a little tricky, and of course, I'm not too familiar with the area up there, and I'm not confident up there. You know, it's totally different.
Yeah, it's not that bad a run. Just take off and run. To, you know, when I fished redfish tournaments out of Port Aransas, mm-hmm. we'd run down your way,
right? And that's probably what I would do. You know, I would do the same. That. Absolutely, that's probably what I would do too. But oftentimes it seems like it's a boat race. You know, it's a boat race to these spots, and you know, I don't like that part of tournament fishing. You know, the go fast boat.
You know, a lot of folks don't.
I don't care for that. You know, I mean. Kim, when we were in her boat, she's got a 350, and you know, her and I are pretty much on the same level when it comes to, you know, being safe and being cautious. You know, she don't go over 35, 30 miles an hour, you know, and safety is our main concern, because, you know, we take clients out and they're depending on us to bring them back home safe to their loved ones. And so, you know, you can still, you know, fish locally and not go 80 miles an hour and catch them, you know? I mean, we did this last 2 days. I always say it takes one good song to get out to where we're going to fish, you know, a good 4-minute song to get out. If we're, you know, we usually like to jam out some music when we're out there. We like to have a good time, and takes about one good song to get where we're going. It actually takes longer to get to the end of the harbor to where we're going, you know, most of the time. But that's that's the great thing about here in Port Mansfield. And I was telling several people this last night during the awards ceremony how fortunate I am to be here and fish here in Port Mansfield. You know, you can pull out solid fish, trout, redfish, 5 miles north or south of the harbor here in Port Mansfield.
Right.
And you can go a whole week fishing around here and not even go through a tank of gas. And I love that about here. Expenses are low and you know, you can spend a lot more time fishing rather than running around. And not only that, but the amount of real estate that's here that you can wade, you know, yeah, for miles and miles.
Wade
and miles.
Fisherman's I'll tell you paradise, this. Man.
Yeah, and you know, both days we did not move. We just left power pole, you know, drift on down with the north wind and just dissected that whole flat and you know, working potholes and just above knee deep water, you know, scattered.
Well, it puts you in the game and you're a couple of bites away from winning it all, you know. You know what's there.
I know it.
Might as well
camp
out and live on it. Live and die on it, man. That's
absolutely.
Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back to you.
Okay. Be here.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's 3-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schler of the Visinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 619 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, we are back. Thanks for holding.
I'm still here.
All right, good deal.
Yeah, leading up to these 2 days, you know, the tournament, it was a little difficult to really get a pattern on these fish. I mean, you know, they've been through a lot last month. You know, every time a cold front comes through, it changes up the patterns just for a little bit, and then you got to kind of figure out what they're doing, where they're at, what they want, you know, how they're reacting, and you know, it's just like you know it warms up for a little bit after these cold fronts, and you start to gain a little bit more of a you know, more information. You gather all this information from fishing, you know, all these days, and then all of a sudden another cold front comes through and it changes up those patterns, and then you're back at square one, you know. And so a lot of these trout seem like they had gone out pretty deep, in certain areas to where, you know, we couldn't really quite reach them. Of course, every once in a while you'd hook into a solid fish, you know, and waist deep water and some deeper potholes, and they just weren't really biting. Mm. They weren't committing to the bite. And some of them seemed stunned, you know, right after that big cold snap. You know, there was trout and redfish that you'd pull them in, and you felt like you were literally pulling them in, and they would hardly move around.
Yeah, heavy and stunned, you know?
Yes, yes. And so, you know, at the same time, you pull that fish and you kind of feel bad, you know, you almost feel guilty about it. I'm like, gosh, you know, no need to get after these fish, you know, after they've been through a lot of stress. And a lot of times, you know, these fish they'll gather up in this harbor and they will stack up in here. And when that happens, a lot of the locals will come here and catch a lot of reds, because they'll just sit in here. Water's warm, they're protected, and you know, good for them. They come here and catch a couple keepers, take home, but you know, that's just what they're going to do. They're going to seek some warmer water. But when it would start to warm up on that sand, when that sun came out, that yeah. bait would activate up there, and they would ease up there a little bit, you know, get up shallow, throw Little John XL, watermelon gold glitter, golden brim, man, those colors. And of course, you know this, those are some of my confidence lures, and that's exactly. The majority of the big bites that we got were on those colors when the sun came out, you know, and water's somewhat chalky. Yesterday, later on the day, it started clearing up pretty well, it warmed up really, really quickly too. And so up on the flat, man, that water temperature was warm, and you know, it was shedding off layers because it was getting warm quick. And you know, when the water starts to clear up like that, if I can see a redfish 20 yards, 30 yards in front of me, I know those trout can see me. There's no way they can't. So, you know, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in clear water because of that. I don't like to be seen or feel like I'm pressuring them, because, you know, I want to sneak up on those fish. I don't want them to see me coming. And so because of that, you know, we're throwing clear baits, anything that's real light, got a little bit of flash in it. Nothing too bold. You know, nothing that's going to really spook them off. You know, you want them just to see a little tiny flash through there. And so later yesterday, our bite wasn't until maybe, let's say it was like 10:30, between 10:30, 11:30 or so. And in the morning, everything looked right. I mean, it just looked perfect. Bait was slipping, and that's ideal profile size bait, finger mullet, you know? And,
yeah.
And I told Kim, I said, man, we're fixing to get bit. I said, that bait's activated. You know, wind was blowing, you know, 12 miles an hour out of the north, and just lined up perfect out there on some potholes. You know, you'd be walking, it's above knee deep, and then you walk in a pothole and you're mid to upper thigh deep. You know, I love fishing that structure.
I do too.
Dropping
favorite things.
Yeah. Dusting that lure in those potholes, dropping those soft eyes in the pothole, you know, and so when the sun comes up, you can really see those, and you can really work your lures accordingly when you can see them. But of course, in the morning, you know, I try to keep it in the middle column, and just because of the grass, and there still is a little bit of floating grass. Of course, it's not as bad as it gets in the summertime and, you know, late fall and whatnot, but a lot of our floating grass has moved out. But of course, when we get these cold fronts, it stirs up all that stuff and that turtle grass. And turtle grass is still very, very thick in some areas, healthy, green, just beautiful. You know, on these calmer days, that grass really filtrates that water. But you know, we've been throwing a lot of clear baits, but man, that watermelon gold glitter, golden brim, those colors, you know, they just have a perfect little flash. And I will say this, I know this last week I heard of several people, and Kim's clients foul hooked some piggy perch. So there's still, you know, there's still pin perch in the bays right now. They're getting foul hooks, so they're still up in that grass. And a couple times when I was just lifting the lure on water, shrimp would just jump right out right there. So we still have, you know, a lot of other smaller bait. It's not just all mullet driven. I mean, of course, the main food source right now is mullet, because when this water temperature drops, all that smaller bait kind of moves out to deeper water. But I think now it's starting to move back up and on the flats, and these little potholes. You'll see it when the water clears up. You'll see those little flashes right through that water. I'm like, oh man, yeah, that's it, you know. But the things that we saw leading up to this tournament, you know, and I'm not a burner. I don't like burning. I don't like seeing folks do it. I mean, everybody can do what they want, but, you know, I'm not in favor of it. You know, when people burn up perfectly good shoreline or a good wading area that has potential, you know, you burn that area, and those fish may not come back till later in the day or the next day. I had ran up really shallow up on the flat where it was just mainly sand, and came up on a school of fish. I think I told you this last week, but I've never visually, like, actually seen it with my own eyes. I've heard of it, but I've never actually seen it. And these fish were so tight up together to one another. And they were all in the same angle. They weren't, you know, they were just working together, and they were way up on that sand. And it was after a cold snap. They didn't look like drum. They didn't look like redfish. They had to have been trout. They were big too, long. And it was probably a 20-foot wide circle of them just sitting up there shallow. And it stopped me in my tracks. But,
long,
you know,
black,
they were,
features, you know, images.
Yep.
You know what that is.
Yep. Yep.
You know.
I'd never seen it before like that. And it was really, really neat to see, you know. And so I was like, man, I'm going to mark that spot for later. And come back, maybe we'll still be there.
We used to do that after these good hard fronts and low tides. And then the tide had come back a little with some sunshine the next couple of days behind the front. And we had a place. You know, several places over in East Bay, East Galveston Bay, that you could get up in knee-deep water like that and cast, you know, like 7M mirror lures. We didn't have all the corkies and fancy stuff
right
back then like we do now. And you can see those big old long black trout laying on. And they'd always be together in like 3 to 5 fish. Sometimes you'd see 10 or 12 in an area, but real tight little groups of 3, 4, 5 fish. And,
yep.
You just try to,
neat to see.
Talk one into biting your lure and keep bringing it by them. Might have to cast 20 or 30 times, but when you did get a bite, it was a
good one.
It
absolutely
was as long as your leg, man. <It's good.
laughs> You know, good, that's stuff. One thing, you know, this time of year, you know, you're making more casts in smaller areas. You know, you're really, really dissecting these potholes. You know, you're not just throwing one or two casts in there, you know, you're throwing on each
several,
edge,
yeah.
You know, several. And, you know, because at this time of year, I really don't think these trout move much. You know, there's no need for them to move. Everything they need is there. You know, the structure is just beautiful. You know, you've got these deeper potholes. You've got bait in there. There's, you know, there's small profile bait. There's, you know, mullet. Just everything they need to thrive is there. I mean, it's just like, you know, if we got a house that's fully furnished, why would we need another place to go? We've got everything we need is here. We got
that's
food,
it.
We've got water, we've got all the things we need to live and survive. And that's how it is out here, you know. I mean, everything they need is there. And so that's where they live. And, you know, these areas where there's high traffic and a lot of pressure, you got to know that those trout are used to that. I mean, all, you know, you get weekenders, you get burn boats, you get tournament boats, you get, you know, guide traffic, you know, up in certain areas here in Port Mansfield. And you just got to know that, you know, oftentimes that they've got to be used to it, you know, in some way, shape or form.
Yeah. We have places like that up here that are constant boat traffic and high pressure areas, and they I think they get used to it, and I really do.
Absolutely. You know, and I was one thing I thought about this yesterday, and you know, I never really thought about it, but I was talking to Joey Farah about during the award ceremony about the anatomy of these trout in certain areas, you know, and he was talking about the anatomy of trout up around Marker 37, you know, where he fishes, and then of course the anatomy of the trout back in Baffin, and then of course the anatomy of the trout further up north of the causeway. And I was like, and I thought about it, I was like, you know what, I've never really thought about that. And then he started really talking about the muscle mass of certain fish in certain areas, and I was like, you know, that really makes sense, because you know, the trout that we catch in Baffin, they just look different from the trout that we catch up here on the flats, or the fish you catch, you know, in Corpus Christi area. And I was like, you know, that I've never really thought about that, you know, and you know, some fish are real long and skinny, and they don't have as much muscle mass, or the ones that are around current have more muscle mass than the ones that don't. The ones in Baffin, there's no current there, you know, it's all wind driven. They're just, you know, they're real fat and loose. You know, they've got some loose skin. They got some cellulite. You know, they don't need much. They don't need a whole lot of muscle mass, you know, to live back there. It's just, you know, they go out deep. And
I see that a lot up here in the bay system. You know, we have different, you know, you can just tell by the looks of them and what bay they're from. And they're just different all throughout our bay system. Let me knock this next break out. I'll be right back. We'll talk some more about that. That's cool.
All righty.
Well, folks, if you're going fishing, well, don't. Not till you've been to the 50th Annual Houston Fishing Show. That's coming up February 12th through the 16th at the George R. Brown Convention Center. And we're talking everything for fishermen. All the new rods, reels, and lures. Factory reps there to answer all your questions and show new product. And guides from Alaska to South America there to book trips and answer all your questions. Dozens of fully rigged boats and hundreds of kayaks. And every day, they have clinics by expert fishermen covering salt and fresh water. And don't forget about the special kids clinic on Saturday and Sunday. Get the kids out of the house and take them in. They'll have a really good time at that. So if you love to fish or just want to learn more about fishing, don't miss the 50th Annual Houston Fishing Show. That's February 12th through the 16th at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Check it out at HoustonFishingShow.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, Rihanna, we are back already.
All right, I'm still here.
All right, cool. Well,
yeah.
That
conversation last night that I had with Joey was, you know, I never really thought about it, you know, really, truly. But whenever he started talking about it, I was like, you know, that's just how it is. You know, some trout are long and skinny, and, you know, they just seem a little bit more firm in the skin. And some of them just have that real green, dark tint to them. And then, of course, you get them bathing, and then they just look like big, long, fat sand trout, you know, no spots, hardly any spots. They're just real chunky and, you know, yeah, a little bit more fat on them, you know? And, you know, one thing that I've noticed, the way that the trout react in certain areas, I don't know what it is about here in Port Mansfield, but the trout here, they come up and they shake their head real violently. I don't get that much in Baffin, hardly ever. You know, when I catch good trout in Baffin, and, you know, and I'm not fishing real deep water. You know, I'm fishing where I'm comfortable, which is above knee deep, which is like a foot and three quarters, you know. It's very shallow. That's just my comfort zone. But here in Mansfield, you know, the majority of the trout that I catch, they all come up and they just shake their, and it's just awesome. Like yesterday, that 5-pounder that I caught, she came up and just, I mean, it was calm, and there was boats everywhere. I saw the heads turn whenever she came up and shook her head. I thought it was going to be a lot bigger trout than what it was, just because of how she reacted, and you know, the commotion that she made. And, you know, that's one thing I noticed in Baffin. The majority of bigger trout there don't react that way. They dig down. They'll dig down. They'll nose down. And sometimes you think it's a red, you know,
right.
And you pull up and you see that silver flash. I'm like, oh, that's not no red. You know, but, it's weird how it seems like the action, the behavior of the and of course the anatomy is just in certain areas it's different amongst these trout. I mean, trout are trout, you know, but mm-hmm. in certain areas it just seems like they react different, and that is one thing we've noticed in Baffin. I think about like, man, I wish these bigger trout in Baffin would go crazy and do all that, because it's an adrenaline rush. I love it when they do that. They come up and dance and show themselves, and you see that yellow mouth just shaking through that water and swinging water everywhere. I love it. You know, that's just what I live for, those moments. And it doesn't last very long, but, man, when it happens, it seems like all I think about for the rest of the day. You know, I go to sleep thinking about that trout and seeing her yellow mouth shaking out of the water. But it's really weird how that is, and I don't know exactly why that is. Why the behavior in certain areas amongst these trout, how they react. But I will say this, and I do think this might be a contributing factor. Whenever they get hooked in that real plate, they don't like that. They don't like that one bit. And they will do anything they can. They're like, man, I got something that shouldn't be there. And they're trying real hard to get that out. Of their mouth, and so they're just violently just shaking their head around, and the majority of the time whenever they do shake like that, they're hooked right there, and you know, and they fully committed to the bite, and that hook is way down in there. And you know, the ones that really don't do that, they're hooked like on the outside of, you know, right in the corner of the mouth or outside, you know, whatnot. But I mean, there's times when trout and bass are hooked in the gill plate, and they still don't do that. I just don't understand why. I'm still trying to figure that out. But, you know, yesterday the majority of our bites were on soft plastic, and Little John, the small ones, you know, when the barometer was, you could just feel it rising, temperature was rising later in the day, you know, not after the big bite, you know, the window whenever they were really feeding, you know, downsizing. And oftentimes I will slow down my retrieve around those potholes to just really get that lure in that vicinity where I think that they, you know, where they are. And so, you know, I'll slow down a little bit. You know, I tend to work my lure way too fast. Sometimes I have to slow myself down. Either or, because I'll get excited. I'll see something that gets me excited. It gives me like a little adrenaline rush, and I have to really watch how I'm working that lure. And this time of year, you really have to be conscientious of it and how fast you're working that lure, you know, what column they're in. On the first day, on Friday, you know, fishing up shallow, throwing a pistachio, cut some corky soft dime, and one boiled up on it, and I saw her, and she, I mean, it was the water turned white, you know, and missed her. You know, she came up in the upper column, and I thought, man, that might be a good double D opportunity. And I just threw that. I chunked that thing yesterday forever. I was waiting for one to just come up in that upper column and slam that thing, and it just never happened. You know, and then, you know, oftentimes, you know, you're searching, And I'll tell, you know, and I'll do this too when I've got clients. I've got guys that, you know, in the morning, and they're like, man, you know, I really don't know what I'm going to throw in the morning. Oftentimes I'll just tie a little loop knot on where, you know, you hook up the hook on the rod and whatever I see or feel in the morning, that's what I'll throw. So oftentimes, unless I just absolutely want to throw a certain color or something looks really appealing to me, then I'll tie it on. But other than that, the majority of the time, I do not know what I'm going to throw in the morning. I just base it off, especially here in Mansfield. Things change all the time. And, you know, you've got tidal movement, you've got wind, you've got pressure, you've got, you know, the clarity of the water. And most of the time it's, you know, clear to somewhat chalky. And so you have to adapt. It's constantly adapting, you know, to the conditions. And
yeah.
And that's one thing I love about here. You know, it keeps it, you know, interesting every day. You know, it's interesting. It keeps it, you know, up to date and new, and back is a little bit different. You know, you're depending on the wind to drive your bike. And I can tell you, and I know I've told you this before, when there's mornings there in Bath and it's like calm, and I can see that southeast wind, the ripples coming across the bay, and as soon as it gets to us, it's like boom, boom, boom. They start hitting, they start biting, but it's because it's wind driven down there. It's totally different.
Well, yeah, there's just not much current there at all, you know, unless you're getting a land cut, but that's mostly wind driven current too, running through there.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It's a game changer. You know, you
different
get that
ball
wind
game
comes up. It's a whole new ball game when the wind comes up.
Yes, it is. Wind is your friend over there. And of course, wind is your friend, you know, all the time. I will say later in the day, you know, the wind had died down, bite died, bait went down,
sure.
Bait wasn't flipping, everything had just died down completely. And it was a grind, you know, you were making 5-8 casts and small area, slowing your retrieve down, just barely, just, you know, walking.
And that's so hard to do in a tournament, man, because
the
clock's ticking and, you know, all the pressure, you know, somebody else is getting them and you're not getting any bites, and it just, boy, it's make a werewolf out of you in a heartbeat.
Yep, and that was the defining moment. Yes, it was. And that was me on day one. You know, my girls had caught solid fish early in the morning, and I think the last one they caught was around 11, a little after 11. So that whole time, you know, it was my turn to perform and to stick one, and it just never happened. And the closer it got to the end of the day, the harder I tried, you know. And I think oftentimes, you know, it's like, I guarantee you that the vibes flow through that line at the end of that line.
You're pressing too, you know, and it just, you know, it just changes everything. You're not working your lure how you should be. I mean, I've been there and done that. It's nerve-wracking.
Man,
just for one bite, you think, man, anybody can get one bite.
I know. And at any given moment, that trout's just waiting right there. And any given moment, it's going to happen, and it never does. And, you know, it was emotional for me, you know. I mean, I got emotional. But
overall, for both days, what was the best lure? I mean,
the best lure that we were throwing?
Yeah.
The watermelon gold glitter and the little John X.
Gold glitter.
Yep. That was it, with a 160-aught jig head.
Yeah, real light head, sure.
Yep, Kim caught hers on that. I believe both days. And and then I caught one. I caught a decent one earlier this week on that color too. I mean, that color's just been working. It's a confidence lure for Kim and myself. You know, she throws mirror lures. She's with mirror lures. So those are her confidence baits. And, you know, we just, because we've produced good bites on them, that's mainly what we like to throw. And I know there's not much to that little bait, but man, it's easy to cast. You can cast those things a mile. They're
so versatile,
hardy.
Yeah.
They are, you know, and I love them, and I love. There's several different lures that I enjoy throwing. You know, the Down South Supermodels, I love those baits there, and I threw that yesterday. I threw that for a long time, and caught two fish that were like right at 3 pounds, and they were very close to one another, and was like what. Casted once, caught that 3-pounder, and about two more casts after that, caught another 3-pounder. But, you know, there's oftentimes it seems like they're just looking for a certain profile, certain little, you know, way that lure works through the water. And sometimes I think they like that paddle tail action, you know, sometimes maybe they don't, you know, I'm always searching, you know, when I'm out there, for what they want and where they're at in the column, you know. So a lot of times, you know, even like when I'm guiding, you know, I've got clients with me in the morning. I don't know what they're going to want. I don't know what we're going to throw. So then I'll tell my guides, like, maybe somebody throw a soft on, somebody throw a little John, somebody throw a top water. And I'm not really a big fan of top waters anymore, especially down here because of all the grass that's floating around. You can't properly walk them without getting a blade of grass stuck on the hook, and then there goes the, you know, the walk back to you. You can't work it properly, and you know, oftentimes it's frustrating. But to avoid that, you know, we're throwing corkies and soft dimes and little johns and you know, soft plastics. But first thing in the morning, you know, presenting different profiles to see what they want is kind of the way to do it, especially when you're trying to gain a pattern on them and you really, you know, you don't have it honed down. You don't have a grasp on the exact pattern, what they want, the profile or look at the color they're looking for. But I will say this, you know, with how it's been full sun, you know, clear skies, anything with gold, copper, and even
any
a little
kind of flash
silver,
like that, yeah.
Any kind of flash, it has been producing solid bites. And when they do decide to eat, man, it's game on. You know, the window was probably maybe 45 minutes yesterday. Whenever it started and you know, they were in there with those reds. They were feeding with those reds, and we got on a school of reds, and we caught two that were pushing eight. And that's when we got on our trout bite. They were up a little shallow, and you could just see that bait. You could see the water boiling. There was birds working. There was pelicans floating and digging their heads in the water. Those white ones, you know how they just sit out there. And they're out there feeding. You know, you know, I've seen them, they'll dig their heads down and then they'll spit water out. And I don't know if they're filtrating that water and eating all the little crustaceans. I don't really know what they're doing, but neat to watch. You know, and you see seagulls floating, you know, on the water. You know, I mean, all the positive signs were there. And I'll tell you this, it's funny how it works, because there was a boat, another, you know, angler that was fishing, several anglers that were fishing in the tournament, and they were just to the left of us, you know, parallel to the same line, and we were just hammering them, and they weren't catching anything at all. And I've always thought about this, how many times I've been just 30 feet off of a line when they're right there, you know, and you get to think about that. And I'm like, I wonder how many times that I've only been a couple feet off of a good line, or, you know, how many big trout that my lure has passed by in front of some, you know, those, their nose, and they just didn't want it, or they just, you know, maybe just it spooked them. They weren't ready to bite it. And, you know, I think about things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll just never know, but it's always a mystery. And that's what makes it really interesting. And, you know, even though it's the same area that you're fishing, you know, it's something new every day, and I learn something new every day I'm out there, and that's what makes it so interesting.
Well, if you're not learning anything or, you know, getting anything out of it daily, you're, you know, just you're not in the game anymore.
Right. It's like going to the driving range and just hitting a bucket of balls with no purpose. You know, you're not deliberately making shots. You're not.
No.
You're
not. There's a big difference between the driving range and the real
and the real
box.
And the real deal. That's, right.
That's it.
That's right. And
same
so
way
you know
with fishing.
Absolutely, it's playing chess rather than checkers. You know, and especially the type of fishing that we're doing. You know, your every cast is deliberate. You know, you see something. You're working a line of potholes. You're working a piece of structure. You're working, you know, whatever it may be.
That's it.
And sometimes you can. Sometimes I can overthink it. You know, I'm like, you know, what if, or what if I did this instead, or, you know, and
yeah,
oftentimes
that's a bad thing when you start second guessing everything. You just got to just stay focused on, you know, what you're going to do. Just fish.
Right. Yep.
Just
and,
fish,
you know,
man.
And I've got three lures that I throw. And, you know, other than that, you know, I hardly change lures. I'll, you know, if I notice that maybe they're feeding on the upper column, then I'll, you know, throw a double D or something that I can really get up there on that upper
column.
Yeah,
just let the fish dictate to what you're going to do. You know, they'll tell you. All you got to do is listen. Look and listen.
Uh-huh. Watch and listen.
All right. Well, Rihanna, I'm glad y'all had a decent tournament. Hey, it's early in the season, first one. Got more to go.
Yep. But, the next stop is Corpus Christi.
Corpus. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're gonna
down there in Joey and Cliff's backyard.
Heck yes.
There you go. Well, hey, it's always good talking to you. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing Mansfield or Baffin with you, how do they get a hold of you?
You can reach me at 361-296-5400. And if you want to make a wade in Baffin or Port Mansfield, just give me a call.
That'll work. All right, well, rest up and get ready for the next one.
Yes, sir. Will do.
All right, Rihanna. Thank you, hon. Appreciate it.
You take care, Mickey. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
All right. Later. Bye.
All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back next week, Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.